Morning, church. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you will, toward New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse 16 through 18. It's short this morning. There's a psalm that's also in your bulletin, but we're going to be focusing on just these few verses this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. You are amazing and magnificent. You are loving and gracious. We surrender our lives, our faults, our everything to you. God, we are thankful for this week, all of the ups and downs it contains. We come to you with open hearts and open lives, ready for your voice to speak in and through us. Amen. Now, have you ever had one of those days? I should say it like this. Have you ever had one of those days? Yes, okay, I'm sure everyone, you know what I mean, those days that I'm sure Dean has often when you forget to grab your coffee off the counter before you head to work and you just struggle for the first part of the day, those days when you absolutely need to leave early to be somewhere and your child decides that they're going to spend as long as possible to get ready for school, one of those days when no matter how hard you try, you don't find the time to spend some dedicated moments in prayer or Bible study. One of those days when you hear that a friend or a loved one is more than a little bit unwell. One of those days where everything in the world just seems to cause you pain. Maybe those are times that one of those days feels like one of those weeks or one of those months or one of those years or one of those lifetimes. I want to be very vulnerable this morning and share some things with you about myself, those moments in which I've had one of those days and weeks and months and years. When I was between the ages of 11 and about 14, were probably the roughest 3 years of my life. And some of you know my recent history, and that's nothing compared to what those 3 years had for me. You see, my parents got divorced when I was in that age group. I was abused in that age range. My dad got remarried in that age range. I moved twice in that age range. Suffice to say, between the ages of 11 and 14, I was having one of those years. Those are the days in which I look back and I often wonder how I even made it through those days, those weeks, those months, and those years, those moments in which you question why you had to go through that, why you needed to go through that, those moments in which you said, what is going on and where was God in the midst of all of that? Those are the days that we wonder, are we going to make it through? Are we going to actually survive this life? So how do we get through one of those days? How do we get to experience one of those days, knowing that God is in the midst of them? What is the secret? What's the solution? You see, life can be inconvenient. It can be difficult. It can be extremely stressful. I mean, we are human. We have emotions. And the day brings more than what we can bear. We all have wishes. We have hopes and dreams and prayers, some fulfilled, some yet to pass, some that will never be answered. Sometimes we say too much, and other times we just don't say enough. Sometimes we need to hear someone to share a word with. We need to know how we should pray. We can't seem to find the words in those days. We should choose trust. We choose to try our own strength. We choose to go our own way instead of God's way and God's will. Friends, we will all experience some of those days, won't we? We will all experience times of discouragement. We will always experience times of temptation. We will experience those days, and we will wonder why. The question is, how will you handle those days when it comes to you? Will you complain and murmur? Will you doubt God's power to bring you through and supply the needs that you have during those days? Will you forget where it is that God brought you from? Will you remember where you came from but forget what life is like without God? We can live our whole life like one of those days, or we can live like people who know the good news that God has for us and his ability to change our lives, and the Spirit empowers us to change the world. There's nothing in this life like Jesus. There is no other answer. There is no other reason worth living. Jesus knows what you need when you need it, and he also knows the best timing and the best manner to give you what you need. And that, friend, is why we are to be thankful. So we hit our third message in the Acts series, right? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving. The book of 1 Thessalonians is likely Paul's second letter. It was written around 52 AD, just a couple of decades after Jesus had risen back up into heaven. After Timothy had returned to Paul from Corinth, relating to him the state of the church at Thessalonica. The church is believed to have been made up of primarily Gentile people. See, in chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says that they are turned from God to God from idols, something he wouldn't have said about the Jews of the time. Paul was concerned because of the infancy of the church, and that's why he sent Timothy over there to check up on him. Overall, things were going well at the church of Thessalonica. There were a few doctrinal issues that needed to be worked out, needed to be dealt with. But by being young Christians, however, Paul ended this letter to them with some words of instruction and wisdom concerning their Christian walk. He said to be thoughtful of the leaders who had worked hard to minister to them regularly. Try to get along with each other. Warn those who are not living right to get right with God. Encouraging anyone who felt left out or helping the weak and be patient with everyone. Don't be hateful to others because they're hateful to you. Do good to others, not only to other believers, but those who are not believers. But then he says something vitally important to hear. Look with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Always be joyful. Always be joyful, right? Never stop praying, right? Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. That's what he says. Now, I realize it's easy to look at these verses and assume that that's a totally impossible thing to do, right? With our lives full of anxiety and depressions and hurts and sickness, etc., how can the world, can we be full of joy and always be thankful? And I'm going to tell you how. It's easy. It's because of Christ. It's not because of the miracles or the blessings or in favor, but most of all, because of who he is. Anything I need in any moment, that is who he is and that's who he will be. Regardless if I'm sick or if I'm well, if I'm rich or if I'm poor, if I'm weak or I'm strong, or I'm up and I'm down, or I'm on the mountaintop or I'm in the valley, he is still going to be Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And there's not one circumstance in my life that can change that. When all the world is failing and faltering and falling apart, he will still be a strong tower that we can run to and be protected from the storms of life. He will always be that way. You know, there are too many people in the church world that are walking around angry or mad or frustrated. Too many people who are disgruntled about everything and they never seem to have joy. I don't know if you've ever seen these people, right? I'm telling you, as a child of God, we have a lot to be joyful about. You've got a lot to be joyful about, church, for had it not been for the work of Jesus performed at Calvary, we would all be lost. Had it not been for him taking the stripes, we would never have been made healed or be made whole. Had he not been chastised, we would never have peace, but he took care of it for us. So regardless of where we are in life, we need to be excited because the God of glory lives inside our hearts. And I believe these verses run well together. He says, be joyful and never stop praying. You know why many folks quit praying or seeking God's assistance? It's because they've lost their joy. They have truly lost their joy. There must be a joy that has swelled up inside of you, that God is about ready to do something new, something great, and something glorious in your life. You need to get excited today about what God is going to do in your life. You need to let that anticipation start building up in your life once again. You need to get back to that place where you once sat on the edge of your seat with joy and that you could not contain it because any second God was going to do a miracle in your situation. God is ready to move in your life. You know, there's so many scriptures and so many stories in the Bible that tell us to have joy in the midst of our circumstances. Nehemiah, when he was going to build the walls of Jerusalem, he faced adversity on every single side, and he knew that he was called to the task, so he proclaimed to everybody to keep at it because the joy of the Lord is their strength. That's why Peter encouraged the persecuted believers to continue on their walk with God, because it was joy, unspeakable joy, for the fullness of glory. That's why David in Psalm 51 said that he would be able to teach transgressors their ways and convert sinners to the Lord, but by having joy of salvation restored to him. That's why in Psalm 89 he talked about people walking in the light of his presence and being a joyful sound in worship. And Proverbs 22 says, peace is planned by having a heart of joy. Isaiah, it talks about the sorrow and the sighing will return to joy in their hearts and in their minds. We are to be committed to be in a place of joy, even when it's difficult to see hope and peace or light on the other side of the tunnel. I'm telling you that when you have a heart full of joy, nothing is impossible. There's only one place that we can receive that joy, and that's in Christ. The pleasures of this world, the family and friends of this world, of the affairs of life, they're just temporary. The joy of Jesus endures. It will last through eternity, friends. And this is tough to say. No matter how bad things become in your life, Jesus is always the source of joy. Not your circumstances. Your circumstances cannot make you happy. It's only Christ who can give you true joy in life. Every calamity that we go through in some way and in God's time will work out for the glory of God. I am a firm believer of that. We need to remember that trials are only a temporary part of the larger plan for our spiritual well-being. Through this perspective, we can always discern the cause for thanks to God. In fact, failure to give God thankfulness or give gratitude towards God, I believe, is a symptom of our unbelief. When people don't take time to acknowledge God and to share our thankfulness to God, is because we don't believe in his sovereignty. We don't believe that his hand is really watching over us. We don't believe that he is invested in our lives. Romans 1:21 says this, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor give thanks to him." Paul's describing a lost world, a group of people who knew about God, who knew about his existence, knew about his powerful workings, knew about his laws and decrees, yet they still did not thank him. And the book of Romans tells us that their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Gratitude needs to always be expressed. We need to give thanks always, in good times, in bad times, and in one of those days. You know, Scripture speaks of two obligations we have to God. First of all, praising God. Second of all, obeying God. Those are the two things that we are responsible to do for God, to do with God. We are created to worship. And if we refuse to let God have that place of true honor, which rightly belongs to him, then we will put something else or someone else in its place. True victories in life are won by Christians who are joyful, who are prayerful, and who are thankful, just like the Scripture shares. We are to express attitudes of gratitude simply because the Scripture says so. David wrote, "Praise be the Lord, for our God who bears our daily burdens." David's praise of God. We are always to be thankful for God's daily goodness and mercy. 2 Corinthians says that we are to be thankful for God for his indescribable gift. Paul says we are to thank God continually for those who receive God's word. The Psalms says, "I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. He has delivered me from all of my troubles." The theme of Paul's epistle points Christians to thankfulness. Paul tells us, for what the law is powerless to do, the Holy Spirit brings into life. Have you ever thanked God for the people who have planted seeds of faith in your life? Have you ever thanked him for the prayer intercessors that have walked alongside of you in your faith journey? Have you ever thanked God for those who have fed you the Word of God, to those who are putting the Word of God out into this world? Have you ever thanked God for the parents who were given biblical oversight of you? When was the last time you thanked God for your spouse or your friends or your coworkers? When was the last time that you thanked God for his provisions? Paul says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Those words, "all circumstances," makes this exhortation from Paul seem very difficult. I mean, it would have been great if he would have said, "Give thanks in most things." Or, "Give thanks when everything is going awesome in your life." That would have been a lot easier for us to swallow, wouldn't it? Give thanks for all circumstances. Give thanks for all things. Do the people around you know that regardless of your circumstances in life, good or bad, that you live a life of praise? The worldview is to not praise God. The worldview says that God is not aware of what's going on in your life. He is not concerned with your present situation, your present circumstances. It would not be a burden to God if you just didn't say anything. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote those words, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." There should be a wellspring in us of joy and thankfulness bubbling up in our heart and in our lives. Gratitude is a mark of a growing Christian. Walter B. Knight shared a story I want to share with you. It's about the ceaseless praise of a leper. He wrote these words. David was a Negro preacher, a leper, and a patient at the National Hospital for Lepers in Carville, Louisiana. He was crippled, deformed, and blind. Yet he was cheerful and he was thankful. He sang hymns of praise and greatly inspired all of the other lepers who suffered the same problems that he had. A note of thanksgiving was always dominant in his prayers, he shared. An old-fashioned radio brought joy to him. He turned it off and on with his lips because his fingers were useless. It was said of Pastor David that he brought joy of the Lord to all who heard his praises and saw the life that he lived. Pastor David, the black preacher who was bound in a Louisiana hospital for lepers, expressed this true attitude of gratitude to God. No matter what our circumstances are, we can always have a testimony that glorified the God who created us, the Christ who died for us, and a testament of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. A clear witness of the true church expresses continued gratitude, makes it expansive, and realizes that it is expected. The Bible says that we Christians are a chosen people belonging to God so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into this wonderful light. One of the greatest privileges of being a Christian is to have the capacity to give thanks regardless of what is going on in our lives. It's easy to be thankful when things are going our way. It's easy to be thankful when we are on the mountaintop. But a Christian can rise above any situation and thank God for causing all of the things to work together for good in life. You see, Paul the Apostle was a man who suffered a great deal of pain when he was writing this book that we were looking at today. So how are we to be joy-filled? How are we to be thankful in the midst of what we have and what we do? And here are some things that I believe Paul did in order to be joy-filled, to pray continually, and to thank God. You see, Paul put his emotional, mental, and spiritual focus on the good things he had in Christ. Paul denied his own selfish interests. Paul allowed every circumstance to teach him more about Christ and his will. Every encounter made him either bitter or better, and he chose to be better. Paul saw every problem as an opportunity to advance God's kingdom and righteousness. Paul thanked God in every situation because he knew God would use it to bring greater maturity, wisdom, and usefulness to his life. Paul thanked God for every trial because he knew it would result in a greater witness for Jesus Christ. Paul sang songs of thanksgiving and praise to God in prison and found joy. Paul rejoiced in the Lord. He had great praise because of God's wonderful attributes and work. And words, Paul knew that all eternity would not be long enough to thank God for who He is. Listen to the verse again. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you to belong in Christ Jesus. It's easier to read that than to live it, isn't it? When I was between 11 and 14, those years were really difficult. And I look back and I wonder, how in the world did I make it through? I was with Christ. It was with family and friends and my dad who loved me so much, even in the midst of all that was going on. And I always wondered, will God ever utilize that? I mean, through my 20s, through my 30s, I would wonder, will God ever utilize those moments to bring about glory for him? And I cannot tell you the amount of times where I have needed to sit with family members, where I've needed to sit with men and women who have struggled through those same things that I have struggled, that God would bring about a sense of hope and a sense of joy and a sense of peace, even in the midst of the brokenness. Be thankful for all situations. God will not leave your circumstance go unnoticed. God will always use those circumstances to bring about hope in another person's life or demonstrate how you live in the life and the light of Christ. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you to belong to Jesus Christ. Easier read than lived it. Joyful on a good day. Yes. Joyful on a bad day. Yes. Joyful on one of those days. Yes. Pray on a good day. Pray on a bad day. Pray on one of those days. Be thankful on a good day. Be thankful on a bad day. Be thankful on one of those days. We cannot say that we are thankful for God's blessings and then constantly complain. We cannot say that we are thankful for salvation and constantly sin. We cannot say that we are thankful for the church and never attend and never get involved. Thankfulness is revealed by the way we act, friends. Our behavior demonstrates our gratitude and thankfulness towards God. We choose our behaviors every day, and we have a choice to be thankful or to be not thankful. We choose that. Yes, adore God. Yes, confess our stuff to God. But friends, we need to thank God every moment of our lives, because it's because of those moments that we dive deeper into our relationship with the one who loves us so much. Be thankful, friends. Celebrate a life lived in Christ because of Christ. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we surrender to you, and we just give you our lives. Yes, God, we adore you, and that's what we learned a few weeks ago. We adore you, and we just thank you so much for who you are, and you are amazing, and you are holy, and you are wonderful, and you are just, God, you are just so beyond our comprehension, and we just kneel at your feet, Lord God. We adore you. And we confess, Lord God, that we are fallen and we are broken people and we are in need of a Savior. And so we kneel before you and we confess our sins. And we know you are faithful and just to forgive them and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, we are thankful today. We find joy today. We pray continually, and we are so grateful and thankful for all of the circumstances that we go through, the good ones and the bad ones. And one of those circumstances. So God, walk with us. Challenge us to grow deeper into you, Lord God. Grow deeper into the love, into the discipleship that you have for us, Lord God. But keep reminding us of those core truths of who you are. That you are a God of love, that you are a God of hope. And that, God, we thank you so much for all of those things and so much more that you have blessed us with. Those moments that we can grow, those moments that we can be challenged, those moments that we celebrate. So God, walk with us as we continue our worship, as we continue to surrender our lives to you. For we pray this in the name of the one who gave his life for us, so that we may in turn share that love with this world. Jesus the Christ and all God's people said, amen.